I mean, for partnership nerds like me, this is a great, great situation. Mostly because I love the informal partnership doctrine, which is not a common law doctrine. It is a statutory doctrine. So sometimes law professors teach it as the de facto partnership doctrine, but it's not de facto, it's de jure, because it's actually in the statute. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting about the doctrine is that when it gets litigated, and of course, by the time things get litigated, people are crossways with one another. One party likes to say this is a partnership by ambush. This is a partnership by accident. But in reality, this is a doctrine that has been around since the 1914 UPA and probably before that. It's also in the RUPA. It's in the Texas Code that was amended, you know, fairly recently as partnership law goes. So it's not a surprise. It is the law. It's been the law of the land in every state for a very, very long time. And I think it serves a very important purpose, right? Sure. A lot of people, they decide they want to start a business and they go and they incorporate as an LLC or a corporation or LP or whatever. But a lot of people, particularly small business people, do business on a handshake. And what are those people going to be? And what are their rights and obligations vis-a-vis one another and vis-a-vis third parties if they're not sophisticated enough to know that they need to go and become an LLC or a corporation? Or maybe they are sophisticated enough, but they just trust each other, at least at the beginning. And so this is kind of a safety valve for those kinds of businesses. And there are a lot of them. And so it's the default. So if you don't do anything else, but you call on a business for a profit, this is what we will characterize you as. We'll characterize you as a general partnership, which is probably the first entity that people learn about in business organizations, but then they move on to LLCs or something like that. Now, of course, the thing about being a general partnership is that you get all of the characteristics and consequences of being in a general partnership. And of course, legislatures have, since 1988, tried to create entities that get you out of some of those consequences. So everybody has fiduciary duties to the other partners, duties of loyalty, duties of care. Everyone has the right to share profits and losses. And if you don't specify, then it's pro rata. And everyone has the right to co-manage. And of course, everyone has personal liability. And so when people were debating the ETP enterprise case and people were saying, wow, this is a crazy doctrine, I think one argument was that default rules should fill in what the parties would have filled in if they had sat down and talked about it. And so one argument was, this is not the entity that people would have chosen if they had sat down and thought about it, right? They wouldn't have chosen to have full fiduciary duties, or they wouldn't have chosen to have personal liability. I actually don't think that's true. If you count entities out there, of course, there are 2.4 million LLCs that filed tax returns for the last year in the Joint Committee on Taxation report, which is about 2015, I think. So you have 2.4 million LLCs, but you have 575,000 general partnerships, which people chose. You have another 140,000 of those that chose LLP status, so they still have full fiduciary duties. You don't have very many limited partnerships. You only have about 414,000 limited partnerships, but you have 24 million sole proprietorships. And so if you think about small businesses, most people just choose to run their small business as a sole proprietorship. And so the default might be you and I are just going to be a joint sole proprietorship, which is really a general partnership. Now, if you don't like that, if you actually sat down and thought about it, the speaker in bankruptcy was talking about pick your partner. Well, you can pick your partner and you can pick your rules. So if you sat down and thought about it, you could choose a different entity, an entity in which you could eliminate fiduciary duties, an entity where you had full liability shield. So, how do you know if you would be a general partnership or not? This is in the statute. So this is the citation to the Texas statute, but it's very similar to the RUPA and the UPA, that the courts would find that you are a partnership if it's an association of two or more persons. And of course, those could be individuals, or they could be two LLCs, or they could be two master limited partnerships, to carry on a business for profit as co-owners. And so the cases then are going to have to explicate this. Did you agree with one another to carry on a business for profit as co-owners? And the next statutory reference is going to flesh it out a little bit. But right after that language in the previous slide, it says, the statute says, regardless of whether parties intend to create a partnership or not, and regardless of what the parties call their entity. And so a lot of times in these cases with small businesses, you'll get people on the stand and you'll say, did you think you had a partnership? No. What did you think you had? And they'll say, well, I thought we were just doing business together, which is actually the same thing.